100%. I think for me personally, playing, if I, the first thing I do is a good thing. So a tackle, it might not be a big tackle, but I chop someone down, yeah. or a carry, I get over the game. That one, the first action of the game has to be a positive one. Yeah. And I think I grow off that. Yeah. For the opposite end, I think if you do, so you do have a mistake first one, it's how you react to that. And I think
100%.
Like I said, you want boys around you, encourage you, saying, come on, don't worry about it, let's get on with it. Like, that's my sort of mindset. I think over the last probably six months, that confidence in me has grown. And like I said, through momentum,
yeah.
and just game after game, week after week. Walk is on, don't just talk, get walking. Don't just talk, get walking. Walk is on, don't just talk, get walking.
Owen Walken, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, good, mate. Not too bad.
Good, man. Thank you so much for coming on. A couple of hiccups getting you, but we got you.
Finally got you in the end, didn't we? But nah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, mate, first and foremost, congratulations on getting back into the Welsh team in the Six Nations squad. How do you feel?
Yeah, obviously, I'm chuffed a bit to be picked in the squad. I think every rugby player in Wales, that's the ambition, to play for Wales. And obviously put my hand up for selection over the next couple of weeks.
How has camp been?
Yeah, it's tough every day. Yeah. You speak to any of the boys like this, you're in the pits every day. You're grafting. It's physically demanding on your body, but obviously we're very fortunate to be able to do our day-to-day. Rather than, could be doing something else, but sort of living a dream, I think.
100%, man. Well, first and foremost, before we get into this podcast is sponsored by Ahead of the Game. What are your thoughts on the food?
It's quality food. They supply us with the Ospreys. And obviously on my days off, I'll be down having grub, so it's great quality food, so yeah, it's good.
Awesome, man, awesome. Before we start, just hold your hand like on that bottom part and just twist it up, pull it over, there you go.
Right.
Perfect. Happy. Just get that nice voice nice and clear. And see that smile, mate, those teeth are nice.
Yeah, Avocanon teeth, yeah, man.
are they not from Turkey, are they?
No, Avocanon, Adam Dunn. Can't remember what it's called, but Adam Dunn up there.
So. Lovely, mate, nice. Well, mate, first of all, you've had an amazing career and you're still really young, which is a great thing. I've seen, you know, you had your 50th cap at a place probably close to your heart and mine, Bridgend.
That was your 100th, that was.
Was that your 100th?
100th, yeah. 100th,
100th. Sorry, mate. Can you short you? What was that like?
Oh, it was class. Just for that game to be in Bridgend,
yeah.
like, it couldn't have landed any better. And I don't know if you've seen the game, but the pitch was just, we had rain all week, didn't
Mud
we?
Bath.
And it's proper old school, and I think for it to be in Bridgend, that sort of game, the atmosphere was electric. It couldn't have gone any better for me, to be honest, so I really enjoyed that.
Awesome. Mate, you've really kicked on this year. I think the World Cup might have been a bit of a test to you after an injury as well and a few things before that, but you've seemed to really hit the ground running this year. What do you think that's come from?
I think, obviously, not having as many injuries. Mm. I think once you're in a rut with injuries, it sort of comes consistently, but I think this year I've really looked after my body and I just feel really focused at the minute to really kick on my career and achieve more.
Nice, mate. Well, you did mention earlier that you've had a training today. You had the under-20s against you.
Yeah.
And I think some of them are trying to show how good they are.
Nah, you can appreciate the under-20s. And obviously, they want to prove themselves as much as us. So it's great for us lot to go against each other, both as your reps in our countries next weekend, hopefully. And it's a good test for us both, really.
Good, man. Well, we'll take it all the way to the start with you, O. Where did it all start with you?
So obviously every bloke in my family pretty much played for Brincaethin. And as a youngster, I actually played for Tondi. I know you're a big fan of Tondi.
Well, I seen your email address. I'm not going to say because the listeners will get it, but I seen Tondi in your email. I thought, I might have to cancel this.
Sack the podcast off. But no, so I started with Tondi.
Yeah.
And obviously I had a great few years there, but Brincaethin is my home club. And nice. As soon as they started a mini and junior section, I moved back to obviously where I'm from, played for them. And yeah, I'd obviously grown up in Brincaethin, playing rugby with the boys at base.
Yeah.
Can ask for much more, and that was great.
Well, your dad probably played a massive part of this, Paul, right?
Paul, yeah.
Yeah, so I think he had more to do with my older brother, James, but you know, everyone speaks so highly about him. Even Guy Nicholas last week was talking about your dad.
Yeah.
Do you think he played a massive part in your development?
Oh, 100%. I think my old man's probably my harshest critic. When I've had a bad game or do something wrong, he'll let me know, and rightly so. But he he probably won't blow smoke up my ass, but he will let me know when he thinks I've played well. So it's, I think it's a good place to be, that he can tell me where I've been shit and where I've been pretty good. So, yeah, and obviously he's pushed me to do and achieve like what I can.
Yeah. Well, I think having someone like that to keep you grounded, because you know, you see so many people, you would have seen it over the time, you know, they hit the academies and they think they've made it before they have. And you can look, reflecting back at my age now, looking at them, you're thinking, you ain't going to make it because of where your mind is at, where, you know, it's all about actually the clothing you wear, not about the actually what, how much more you've got to gain, or the respect or the heritage of the club. Do you think, you know, do you see that a lot yourself?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people probably get to the academy, and like you said, they think they've made it, but that's a really minority part of your career. Mm. That's literally a small stepping stone to get you to the next stage, and then that's an even bigger stepping stone, but still really small to get you to the next stage. And I think if once you realise it's only a very small stepping stone, you've got a good chance of kicking on as long as you keep working hard. I think working hard is that's where you can achieve things.
When the word working hard, like I've really tussled with that over the years, because I used to think a lot of the time working hard was even on your days off working hard, even doing extras, you know, waking up early in the morning to do as much as you can to maximize that day. And I find, you know, it might be from injuries, understanding sometimes doing less is more.
100%. I think sometimes you want it so bad, you can probably be in a rut with it. Like the days you got hot off, you got to spend with your friends, you got to spend with your family, and just get away from that sort of environment, because it is intense physically, mentally, it is hugely draining.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to have that normal lifestyle as well as your professional lifestyle. So I think having that balance is crucial to success and having an enjoyable career as well, which is a main part of it, I think.
It is. How do you then, for you then, at training and everything, and we'll talk more about the injuries later, and we'll go through a few things, but how do you find switching off? What is it for you?
So, if I'm honest, after a game, I'll struggle to switch off because...
Adrenaline,
you're thinking, should I have done this? Could I have done more? Could I have worked harder? But for me, like, I just think you spend time with your missus, your baby, my friends, like, just completely away from the rugby, not even talking about it, just enjoying normal things, walk on the beach, I think... they're key to just switching off and, like I said, coming back to reality, really.
Yeah, that's powerful, that is. I think we spoke about it off air, but probably the timing that you have in your kid, your child, is probably a blessing in disguise. 100%. Because that's something far bigger, and I think it puts rugby into a perspective. Like, that's not who you are. That doesn't define you. That's just a part of you, rugby is. And there's so much more to you than O, as a father, a partner, you know, a dad. And just how you know, carry yourself is, you know, you're well spoken from people I've come across who've spoken about you. Even Guy Nicholas last week couldn't speak any, but highly, you made his top 15, mate. So
I take it. If Guy Nick can talk highly of me, I'm doing all right, I think.
Yeah, I was about to say, I saved it for the end, but I'll say it now. You know, what's better, getting in Guy Nick's top 15 or getting selected for Wales in Gatland's team?
Sorry, Guy, I gotta go for Gatter's team. But now, obviously, Guy's he's a great bloke, and there's hundreds of people that can't speak highly enough of him. And obviously, seeing him on your podcast last week, he's an inspiration to people, I think, isn't he? Mm.
How much did he impact your career?
For me, in college, he was outstanding. Obviously, he's a rugby coach, but he's also a lecturer. And those classes, you can imagine, it's 15, 20 rugby boys in Garnick taking a class, or Craig Wallow, not much work was getting done. So, classroom-wise, he just made my day because he had so many stories. But on the field then, he was just, as a coach, he was just a proper leader, I think. Like I said, he set example to boys working hard. You'd see him every day in a gym doing pull-ups. And he'd do them so slow. But he was just setting example to everyone. And I think as boys going into college, they look at him working hard with Parkinson's, and obviously he's not the youngest of blokes, is he?
No. But 60.
60, is he?
Yeah.
He's getting on now. But and he's a great guy. He's the type of guy, he put his arm around you and he'd criticise you when needed to be, but he'll also give you that advice and that motivation to sort of kick on as well.
Yeah. 100%. And what you just said then about guys, I found myself quite overwhelmed from all the messages I've had, and they're not even about me, they're about him, but so heartfelt that I've had to have a couple of moments of sitting down and kind of shifting my perspective on what is actually hard. What does the word hard mean?
Yeah.
And is it more, I've created a hard scenario, comparison to perspective on what is.
Yeah.
And the way, like, he actually dropped me a text, I told you earlier, he said, you know, I love all the sympathy from everyone, but just let him know, I'll outwork them all as well.
Well, that's typical guy, like, you wouldn't ask for sympathy.
Yeah.
He's a sort of guy, he'll crack on day to day without thinking twice about, obviously, his Parkinson's, he, as bad as him, he couldn't give a shit, he'll just crack on and keep digging, like.
Very true, very true. You know, how did the route of going to Bridgend College happen? Was it just going through the rugby path, this was a stepping stone? Or?
Yeah, I think obviously for my development as a player, I think that was probably the turning point for me is the 2 years in college, I was in the academy as well, the Ospreys, and that's when you probably get the realisation, like, shit, I can make it as a pro rugby player. And I think obviously the college helped me with quality rugby, quality training and quality gym sessions. And obviously, in the academy system, it was great. And, yeah, it just spurred me on. And you obviously get ex-players that come through college. You like have Luke Morgan, Tom Hadfield, Nipper. And they all made as freshman players. You're like, I want to be one of them. And before you know, you're training with the likes of Abbas in training. I'm the 17-year-old. He's a 23-year-old to take me under his wing. Like, so.
Well, what you just said then about all those players, and in particularly Abbas. So I had Harry Morgan on. You know him well.
Yeah.
He was saying when he joined the Ospreys and signed up, he actually had a phone call of Habers. He didn't even know him. And he said, hey, mate, I'm going to pick you up in the morning. I'll drop you to training. And that's the type of guy he is. I don't know if he listens to this, but, you know, it just kind of shows you need those players in a team. You need someone like just there, is there for you. You know, trains hard, sets standards, knows his worth, knows what he can bring to a team. He's knowledgeable.
100%.
And it helps, it brings you on then.
Oh, must be like Cabers, obviously, with me going, coming into the senior squad, my first sort of day, he's chucking me lift club with him, Baldwin, Tom Grab, and just taking me under the wing. And obviously, you're so nervous, it's your first day of senior training, you're like, shit, what do I expect? Another one is Lloyd Ashley.
Yeah, Lloyd's
another
good.
Another great bloke that set a standard, always put everyone before himself. Yeah, but like you say, in the Ospreys, we've got a lot of great blokes at the minute as well.
Yeah, it's good. And a lot of Bridgend boys, you named it, even better. I want to say, though, you know, obviously when you made your debut at 18 for Ospreys and got through the years, there's one thing that I've noticed throughout a lot of people's careers, and people who are sitting in your seat right now, is asking them the question of, when did you start to feel yourself? Like, you know, at stages, you're grateful to be there, and you're just grateful for that opportunity, then you start to find your voice in a team. When do you think that penny dropped for you?
For me, so I had my first season when I was 18, 19. And then the following season, first session of pre-season, I unfortunately snapped my ACL and was out for that whole season until the following year, which was 2017. And I didn't have the best start with Ospreys. I've been out for so long, my timing was off, my fitness, I just wasn't quite ready. And I had people like Hockey, Corey Allen, they were in front of me at the time. And then I managed to get a good run of games, and that's when I had my first call up to Welsh squad, and it sort of hits you, and you're like, I'm a decent player, I know what I'm talking about, I know what I'm doing. And probably that start of 2017, once I got the run of games for Ospreys, that's when like you sort of felt you were valued as a rugby player, you achieve things, and it probably motivated me to want to achieve more again as well then.
That's powerful, that is. It's crazy, isn't it, how like these pivotal moments of making a team or runs in the game, you know, consistent games, how they are the answer to finding your voice. Because like you just said about injuries, people probably in the rugby circle understand injuries, and they understand how they can affect your confidence, how they can affect when you come back, you might second guess things, you're starting to try and work your way back into the team. From the outside, people are like, oh, why isn't he playing as good as he was a year ago? Or that little voice, you know what I mean? But injuries are the key of holding people back from where their potential is, because consistency, getting reps under your belt every week playing, that's where you start to perform, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me at the minute, I'm fortunate. I'm fit and healthy. I haven't got any bumps. So it's like you said, building our momentum. And once you build our momentum, you build your confidence. Mm. You probably build your confidence to try things in games as well, mm. I think, which is probably being yourself a bit more than when yeah. you try things. It's just you being you and trying things you want to do. And yeah, for me, obviously, injury, every player has them, and every player deals them differently. And I just probably people don't see the effects that it has on an injured player from the outside, which understandably they're not in that environment every day, but it is tough on injured players massively.
Well, I had 3 knee reconstructions on my right knee, and from my own experiences, man, the first one I was very young, but the second or third one, they really hit me hard because you knew what you were getting yourself into again. You knew it's a lonely rehab room on your own. You know that you start welcoming in the boys who are injured and you start welcoming them out, like taking them out, and you're still there. And as I'm talking this, you know every scenario and what it feels like, and it's lonely, isn't it?
And like, we laugh by now, but it is a rut you're in. And I think the hardest thing for me is when I've been injured is seeing the boys have success. Like Ospreys last year, we beat Montpellier away, Montpellier home, Leicester away. And obviously for me, I want the boys to win. I'm chuffed a bit, so they're beating all these top class teams. But I'm missing out on all of that success.
Yeah.
You don't feel as if you're bringing enough to the squad because you're not playing, which is no fault of your own, but you still have those thoughts when you're injured, I think.
And then the double end of sword then is you try and rush your rehab to get back quicker. 9 times out of 10, then you rush it so much that something else goes because it's compensating for the injury. And then you're in a vicious cycle of going, fuck, I'm in this rut again now.
like once you're in that rut as well, it's really hard to get out of. You've probably, your diet goes to shit. You don't probably eat as well as you could because you're in sort of a bad mindset. But it's how you get out of it, I think, is the main thing. And like I say, how you get out of it is really the most important thing.
How did you, in those moments then, because ACL's a terrible injury, but you actually had a meniscus tear as well, is that right? And they actually slow the rehab down. They slowed down the surgery even longer. But how did you deal with it in that time?
For me, having my ACL, as bad as it sounds, is probably the best thing to happen to me as a rugby player. More the fact that I learned what it took to get back fit, even though it was quite a bad injury at a young age. First 6 months, I was so lazy with it. And it's probably having effects on my knee today because I didn't probably buy into how I was going to get better. But it's like you said, double-edged sword. Now I know exactly what needs to be done to get fit again.
Yeah.
So as bad as I was, it was a massive learning curve for me at such a young age.
That's powerful, that is. And people listening to that will understand. Because I think when you're young, you just think, I'll bounce back.
Yeah.
Oh, it's another injury. I'll get over this. It's a little niggle and then more and more. And as you know, as you get older now, you're looking after yourself more. You know, and then playing for Wales, we'll go into a bit more, but what was it like? Obviously you said you had the kid, which is a blessing in disguise, but from that period of not making the World Cup to now being back in the Six Nations, what's changed?
Definitely motivation. Like I said, I got a little baby boys. That's something you play for every day now. You want to give them the best life they can. And I just think, like, once you've been out of, like, left of the World Cup squad, it's disappointing. It's heartbreaking. I know rugby's not everything, but it's a big part of a lot of people's lives, and obviously I was massively disappointed. And having him was a sidetrack to realise, well, now there's more to life than just rugby. But as well as that, it made me just think, fuck, I want to get back, and it's so bad. I want to show, like, no, I can cope with international rugby. I'm good enough to play for Wales. And like I said, this momentum, building confidence, I feel like that's what's got me back in the squad this year.
Amazing. It's interesting what you said then about sometimes you need, not a kick up the arse, but more like a bit of a, I won't say the word C-U-N-T in you, bit of that in you to be like, I'm going to prove them wrong. And sometimes that's what we need. Like, it's like having, being in a team, playing every week, not having no competition to fight for. You get comfortable. Sometimes having someone then come on loan to your team, shit, I better step up, in training, you know, and that brings the best out of you.
And like for the Ospreys this year, you got George North at centre, you got Kieran Williams, you've got Dom Morris from Saracens, who's a great player. He's unfortunately injured at the minute, but when he came in pre-season, he was looking shit hot. And I thought, I better up my game or really focus every day if I want to keep my Ospreys jersey, never mind getting in the Wales squad. And like I said, it's healthy for us as a team, for the club. It's good to have so many players competing for that jersey, I think.
So I want to ask you this question. It might be controversial. Regarding the league at the moment, right, with the Welsh League, Welsh regions and how they're going in the competition, I think Ospreys are starting to get some wins now. The big picture, what is going on regarding the quality of players we have, but the performance we're getting, they're not showing that?
Yeah, I don't know. We're probably not consistently competing with, like, say, the Irish teams or in the Champions Cup. And if I'm honest, I don't know why, because a lot of the regions can put 7 to 8 internationals out most weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't really know the answer to why we consistently can't compete, potentially.
Do you think English teams, or not Irish teams, Scottish teams, or South African teams are doing anything different?
The only thing different I'm fully aware of is squad numbers. Obviously, this year, the squad's cut massively. But next year, again, it's getting cut smaller again. So it is difficult for Welsh rugby. But like you said, you sort of just got to get on with it. It is what it is. Just keep your head down, keep working, and fingers crossed we'll get through the other end of it, I think.
I think as well, obviously, if the salary cap is halved or dropping a lot next year, this player's probably on last year of their contract. And this is my theory. They're on their last year of their contract. They might be, you know, thinking, well, I'm definitely not going to be an extra. I'm going to be low-balled a lot. Mm. We are all carrot-driven. You know, we need something to chase. For a lot of people, if it is in personal life, it's a promotion at work. If it's in rugby, a better contract, an upgrade. And if you know that there's a high chance that I might not be your next year, the salary isn't going to be nowhere near where I'm on right now, that might play an effect.
Yeah, like, everyone is financially driven. Like, obviously, you want to be the best rugby player you can be. You want to play for your country, but obviously you want to financially sort yourself and your family. You want to be able to live. And yeah, you can't blame boys for going for money. It's part of life. If someone offered a bricklayer 50 grand somewhere else, they're not going to stay.
And no,
they're going to take it. It's like the same as any other job. And obviously you are loyal to your club to a certain degree because you want to play for that team. But obviously you've got to think your family as well. Like I said, it's probably a bigger picture than the rugby.
100%. And like you just said then, you know, money-wise and clubs, and it's a short-lived career too. You're a couple injuries away from a tie, or you're one injury away from retiring, it could potentially be. But on the flip side as well, that, you know, people say you should be loyal to a club, and I get it. But how many times has a player been disloyal, has been treated poorly from a club that the media don't show? No. There's so many players have been lowballed or not re-signed. Tom Haberfield, for instance, I don't know the full story, but that guy stayed loyal to the Ospreys and they cut him. So who says that, you know, and that's nothing, I don't want you to speak on behalf of Ospreys because I don't want you to get in trouble. I'll be the guy to get in trouble. I'll speak on behalf of the Ospreys. But, you know, these things happen.
Yeah.
And my theory, you know, with this 25 cap rule, Wales can't afford to do it. I think you let these boys play wherever they want to play. You're playing in better leagues. You're growing the game. You actually got players coming through then, developing. And, you know, I think for the bigger picture of Wales, it suits the dynamic of us. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know what I can say.
So saying that, let's move on to another controversial topic. Lewis Rees-Sammet going to NFL.
Fair play to him, I say. Like, it's probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him to, like, off-field is huge for his brand as a name, as a person. But then just for the experience, I think he's got some balls doing that, I think, because rugby-wise, he'd be spoiled for choice to play for whoever he wants. And to do that, I think, go on, go for it, boy, I think. Fair play.
What's the vibe been at training regarding that? Is it, you know, the boys backed it or the boys supported it, or is it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think boys have had a bad thing to say about it because you can't blame him. But like outside of that, the vibe in camp is awesome. I think it's a young squad this year, but so enthusiastic, and boys just looking forward to next, you know, test week. And I think if boys are not picked, they're going to be disappointed, which is, training-wise, it's going to fire everyone up and obviously prepare the team as best they can then.
So a bit of competition in the centres as well, right?
Yeah, I got myself, Nick Tompkins, George North, Joe Roberts and Mason Grady, obviously, big winger for the Blues who can play 13 or 12. So it's a lot of competition here, but it's, you can't ask for much, or you want to be pushing for that jersey regardless, don't you?
I've got to be careful. One of my clients is Johnny Williams and I love John. Gutted for him, obviously, with that red card. I believe he would have been in the squad as well. But for your Ben, mate, you've been playing really good rugby this year, and let's hope that you do get some game time. I'd love to see you starting in that 12 jersey, mate. Bit of footwork.
Fingers crossed, isn't it now?
Yeah.
Well, you're gattering for me there.
I love a word. No, but, you know, your skill set, mate, is really good. And you said something earlier of, you know, doubting a pass or, you know, doing something which you know is on, but that fear base sometimes. And there was this is how I flipped the script. So when I was in Australia, I feel over there, when I was there, they're very enthusiastic. If you have a mistake, they're like, all right, next job, do it again.
Yeah.
Do it again. But I've flipped the script then and think about how, I was speaking to Craig Waller about this the other day, regarding over here, we're more concerned on mistake. Okay, let's kick the corners, let's play the breakdown, let's go to a ruck. We should be in, you know, it wasn't maybe the play that wasn't on, it was maybe the execution of the pass. So the play is fine. So it's more about focusing on just get that pass right.
Yeah.
It's on. And I think I would love to see that mentality of, like, have a go again. Don't back down. But you see so many teams, last 10 minutes of the game, they start to play.
Because they've got nothing to lose. The first minute. No, that's...
Because they've got nothing to lose the last 10 minutes. It's the way we think. The way we see fear, I think we should step into fear.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, like you said, that confidence to throw that pass and then to be accurate as well with it. I know you're never going to have a perfect game. As much as you aim for that, it ain't ever going to happen. You're going to miss a tackle. You're going to do something wrong. But like for me, one of my values sort of as a player is if someone makes a mistake, I'd never be on their back. Because I just think they haven't done it on purpose.
Nah.
Do you mean? And that's probably one of my pet hates in game, if boys are on each other's back. And I just think it ain't going to benefit the team or him. You just need to encourage him to try it again.
Yeah.
And maybe be a bit more accurate or give him a bit of feedback why it wasn't accurate. But the last thing you do is criticise someone for having a crack. Like, that's probably what's got them to where they are in their career, for trying things and being themselves.
Exactly. How many players do you think then get into that rut of fear base of what someone said to them or being shouted at, and then they start to not enjoy the game anymore?
Yeah, and I think over the last couple of years, I've probably been in that scenario where I've thought, oh, I probably could give this out the back off, but I'm too scared of the sort of repercussions if not accurate. And I think that's probably the change in my mindset now. I'm probably a bit bolder with what I'm doing. I'm having a crack. It's probably the fuck it attitude, isn't it? Like, you got to have that. I think more times than not, it will come off. So I think just go for it. And we all play rugby to enjoy it. What's the point in doing it if you don't have fun out there? And I think that's my sort of thing. Just have a crack. Like,
so true. So true, oh. And even down to the fact of, I don't know, if you've ever come off the bench before, right? And you've kind of got this nonchalant mindset of, like, whatever, I'm coming off the bench, I've got nothing to lose here, right? And 9 times out of 10, a lot of the players who come off the bench perform really well because they're not thinking too much. They're just getting on, they're having a crack, playing what's in front of them, you know, reading how many numbers to the right, how many to the left, and then just playing, you know, putting someone through a hole or opportunities. But normally players coming off the bench are less fear-based.
You look at someone like Scott Williams, who's had numerous Wales caps, and obviously you had Jamie Roberts and Foxy there for a lot of the time. But you look at him when he came off the bench. Remember this try against England in Twickenham when
he ripped the ball?
Like, a lot of boys would have ripped and passed.
Passed.
But you thought, oh, I'll kick it and have a crack. And you think, fair play, do you like it?
Yeah.
But I think obviously off the bench you think you've got nothing to lose. But sometimes you can think, if we're sort of winning, you don't want to make a mistake. Mm. You don't want to be the guy that comes off the bench and costs the team the game. So it's sort of the mindset, what you think you're going into it, I think.
Mm. Well, do a lot of clubs, do they have some psychologists at the club, or do they have someone that you can, you know, dealing with overthinking, anxiety, you know, having a mistake in the game, and you know, instead of worrying, oh shit, I'm gonna get pulled off you, yeah, or shit, I can't do that pass again, you know. Do you have these people at clubs?
Yeah, in the Ospreys, we've got Steve Mell, he's a sort of psychologist. We'll obviously look after the boys with, obviously, if they're struggling mentally off field as well. And Wales, we've got a guy called Dale. So there is people there to do it. And I think, speaking from Ospreys' point of view, we've got a lot of people in our environment that care for each other.
Cool.
Off the field as well as on the field. And it's not just a rugby team, it's a lot of people there, really close friendships. And I think that as a team is just a different level of powerful. I think if you've got a team that are willing to really, they want to look after you on the field and off it, that's a different level again, I think. And I think the Ospreys this year, we have got that, which is awesome.
You guys have got some wins under your belt now, and you've got a bit of momentum. So hopefully for the Six Nations period, you can keep it going.
Yeah.
Who is someone you looked up to as a player?
First coming into Ospreys, Ashley Beck was probably
good player.
Quality player, again, littered with injuries. Probably would have had a huge amount of Wales caps if, unfortunately, they have so many injuries. But as a youngster growing up, I've obviously watched him on TV, and he was a quality player. And then when I finally got into that senior setup, this guy who I looked up to all these years was changing next to me in the change room, or passing the ball to me in a pitch. And I think he was another great guy that looked after me. I remember one pre-season I came in, probably a bit heavier than I needed.
You like a feed, do you?
Yeah, I was a big rubber back then. Probably coming a bit heavier, and I got on the ship for it, rightly so. Yeah. But he was someone who was sort of defending me in that case, and I think he didn't need to look after me and sort of stick up for me. Whereas another one is just a great, great guy at the Ospreys again.
Good man. Who's the biggest pest at the club?
As in what?
Like the aggro guy who was always winding everyone up at the Ospreys.
Oh, God, Tom.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's in Wales camp as well. What a nightmare bloke. Good guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Pest.
Oh, especially me. Because he's probably one of the louder boys, and I'm probably not as loud. And he's just constantly on my case. But he's the same for everyone. He's just irritating. Like,
nice.
Yeah. You want to get him on, yeah? He'd be a nightmare on
Just do him solo. Just do a little solo one with him. And what are your thoughts on a new captain as well for Wales?
I think Dav, obviously, he's gone great for Exeter. And he's still so young. He's a Virginian boy as well, isn't he?
It's in the water.
Maybe I'll be skipping one day. But, I think it's obviously you had Jack and Dewey, the quality players, but it's a great opportunity for Dav to be captain, I think. Obviously, the boys are fully behind him going into that first game.
I like that. And, you know, biggest, you know, if you look, reflect as well on, you know, the games you've played, what was your biggest highlight game you remember?
Oh, for Ospreys or Wales? Or?
Well, your proudest, well, not your proudest, your game where you've gone, I've had the best game I, you know, recollect on.
Probably for me, World Cup 2019, we played France in the quarterfinal in Japan. And leading up to the game is obviously Foxy and Parksy in the centre, and I was on the bench. And I knew during the week Foxy didn't train because he was struggling with his knee. And the morning of the game, texting the group, Foxy out, Owen Watkin, you're starting. And obviously it's last minute. I think I was 22 years old, so it's quarterfinal World Cup now. Wow. It's a big thing. And in my mind, you're probably thinking, I know people have probably doubted me, thinking I can't cope with this. And where they were or not, I don't know. But in my head, I was thinking that, and played that game, didn't do nothing wow. But I just felt I was solid, made my tackles, made my passes, worked hard, and we won the game. We were getting battered first half. But that was one of those moments where, I don't know if people were doubting me, but in my mind, I thought they were, because obviously, going from Foxy starting 13 British Lion, 22-year-old Owen Watkin, who probably hadn't earned the respect of international rugby yet, and just getting through our game and doing well.
Yeah.
That was probably a moment where I thought, fucking hell, like, fair play to myself. Like,
massively. When you said then, you know, you think about people were doubting you, and I'm reflecting on myself, do you think you were doubting yourself?
Potentially, yeah. Potentially doubting myself, but deep down, I knew I was going to prove people wrong, even though I'm not too sure if they were doubting me. So, like you said, it's probably just that confidence, isn't it? Again, like, it's, I think you say rugby is a massive game of confidence and momentum. If you've got that,
yeah,
you're fucking winning, I think.
100%. It's confidence is built in reps. And from one bad game to a good, you know, you have one bad game and sometimes that little voice in your head just gets a little louder. And then, you know, that if you, it's like, you know, when you've seen a fullback drop a ball.
And he's
on one then. They're putting bombs up all the time. He's dropping another one. He's putting another one.
He's a rat that is.
Yeah. And you just, you can't snap out of it until you've got to refocus and recenter yourself. And for me, it was kind of just telling myself, next job. Just next job. What's the next thing I can do right now to fix that?
100%. I think for me personally playing, the first thing I do is a good thing. So a tackle, it might not be a big tackle, but I chop someone down or a carry, I get over the game. The first action of the game has to be a positive one. And I think I grow off that. But the opposite then, I think if you do you do have a mistake first one, it's how we react to that. And I think
100%.
Like I said, you want boys around you, encourage you, saying, come on, don't worry about it, let's get on with it. Like that's my sort of mindset. I think over the last probably six months, that confidence in me has grown. And like I said, through momentum,
yeah,
and just game after game, week after week.
I love that. I love that a lot. And I think as well, you know, having that balance of getting the off-field right really helps. I think, you know, being a dad now and understanding and defining what is, you know, the bigger picture.
100%.
Then when you come to a field, you know, you're more in that flow state. We talk a lot about that. But I think that, you know, sometimes people don't understand that getting the off-field right actually helps the on-field.
Yeah. And I think, like, before I had a little boy, you think rugby is a be-all and end-all. And it's not. It's a big part of your life, don't get me wrong, but it's not the most important part of life. You've obviously your family, my mum, my dad, my brothers, my missus, they're all the most important part of my life.
Yeah.
And if you're happy in that environment and everything's going well there, it just takes on to the field. And if your mindset, you're in a good place.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, don't see where you can go wrong, like, personally.
100%. Well, what's your goals in the Six Nations?
So my goal is to be involved as much as I can. Obviously, I'm not there to make up my numbers.
Love that.
I want to play week in, week out, and obviously, we're all working hard there, and you're competing against each other day in, day out, but for me to be involved as much as I can, and so, again, I just want to show people, like, I'm so back. I've had a few downs with injuries and just not getting... Because, like you said, you have injuries. You don't get your form back. It takes a while, and like you have another injury, and it's like just like you said, you're in that rut. And it's once you're out of it, and like for me, I feel like I'm out of it now, and I just got to look after myself and keep in the main thing I'm doing at the minute. I'm really enjoying it.
Love it.
And when you're enjoying it, you just love it, don't you?
100%. And I will say though, you know, Wales is a goldfish bowl. So when you're doing well, they love you. When you're not doing well, they'll tell you you're not doing well. And I think having something outside of the sport, like you just spoke about, is a key thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like you say, you probably get, if you do make mistakes, you probably, people do tell you about it. And like you say, it's their opinion. They might think I'm the worst end in Welsh rugby, but it's their opinion. But I don't think they probably see the work that goes in on a day-to-day basis from a rugby player. You look at people like George North, your Alan Wins, your Tips, your Biggses, have been at the top of the game for 10 plus years. Like, the sacrifices they've made for, like, not seeing their families or just the work and the effort they've put in, people probably don't see that. And it's huge, man. I can't explain enough. And I think, fucking hell, boys, how have you done that? Like, and obviously, you aspire to be undercap Welsh international. Like, whether it will or not, you don't know. But
you can shoot for the stars, man.
You've got to aim for it anyway, I think. Yeah. But I think just... boys put so much effort in and sacrificed a lot of things. Like, I'd love to go have beers with the boys on a Friday night. I can't.
Yeah.
But like you said, in the long run, I'm sure that sacrifice will pay off.
And it is paying off. You're in the Six Nations team, and enjoy these moments. Reflect on all the wins you've got right now, because I think sometimes we're so driven on what moving forward, we forget to reflect on how far we've come.
Yeah.
You've so overcome so many obstacles on this journey just talking right now. But what you just said something about Alwyn Jones. I heard he's an absolute, like, what he's like on the field, he's like that at training, like roughing everyone up. Is that true?
He's if you're new to the squad, you'll find you. But I think, like, people can say they want to wear him, but he is one of the best rugby players ever lived.
Mm.
And he's a top-class bloke, but I think his intensity in training, that's what sets him apart from the rest.
Mm.
The fact that if a youngster comes in, he will grab him by the scruff and,
yeah,
like, he's not shy, but that youngster, guarantee, will end up kicking on in their career, no doubt about it. So I think what he does and the intensity he brings is just, that's why he is who he is, like.
I love that. I'll ask you a question. If you wasn't a rugby player, what would you be?
I'd probably be apprentice of Sparky, my brother, because hopefully he'll hire me after rugby. But
yeah,
honestly, God, I couldn't tell you. Like I said, I've always wanted to play for Wales and be a professional rugby player, and I think probably put all my eggs in a basket. I'm trying to, obviously, I'm going to learn new skills off the field because rugby doesn't last forever, but...
Get some modelling, mate. Those teeth on modelling were looking.
My ears are too big for modelling. Trust me, I got my old man's let me down, to be honest with you. But yeah, just at the minute, like I just want to focus on rugby. I'm enjoying it so much, and I just want to really kick on. I think that's just my ambition at the minute.
Mm. Okay, we're gonna wrap it up with some questions. So, what advice would you give to your 21-year-old self?
Just keep going. I think, like, you can either have the mindset of, oh, I've made it now, I've got a professional contract, I'm doing all right for myself. It doesn't last forever. You always should want more. Mm. And just keep working hard. I think hard work can be talent all day. Mm. You might not be the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, but if you're going to work hard, I'm sure more boys will respect you if you're just willing to go to well for them.
Mm. That's so true. I think about all of the players who should have made it but didn't made it because they didn't make it because they didn't put the work in.
Yeah.
So many are out there that didn't make it.
It's such a waste, and you think just invest your time and like you say, we sacrifice so much.
Mm.
Like, make that sacrifice worth it. Like, if you sacrifice a bit and you don't achieve what you achieve, was that pointless you doing that sacrifice in the first place? Like, I just think if you're gonna do it, let's just go for it and really apply yourself.
Love it. 100%. Have you got a quote that you stick by or a mantra?
I haven't got a quote, no, to be honest with you, but I like to think I feel like I'm one of those players, I'll always work hard, and I'll always put the team for myself.
Selfless, love that.
100%, I think it can be my downfall sometimes, because I probably look someone else in a better position than me before thinking for myself and having to crap myself, whereas... But then speaking to someone like Garnick, he'll always say to me, but that's why you've got to where you are in your career. You're a selfless player. You'll put someone else in for a try, but they don't see the rip or the pass you made to create that try. And I think, as much as I think, should I be a bit more selfish?
Yeah.
And then, like I say, you speak to people like Garnick or my old man or my mum, and they say, no, that's why you've got 100 Ospreys caps. You've played for Wales. Mm. That's why you've achieved these things. So just... That's who you are, and I think you just got to stick by who you are, sort of thing.
Yeah, finding that identity of what you bring to a team. I think some people are trying to do, you know, not outside of their box, but identifying what the box is and realizing that it's okay to do these things and have a very good game.
Yeah.
You know, some people try and do too much, and they're always chasing the tail then. Yeah. You know? And lastly, mate, what are you grateful for?
Obviously, my family. Without my mum and dad, I wouldn't be where I am. And obviously, my missus and a baby now, obviously, they mean the world to me. And obviously, you're motivated to do things for them. My parents, you want to make them proud. They've, on a Sunday, they stood on the side of the field by the hearth ground watching me get battered by them. So you just want to repay them for all the things they've done for you.
Love it.
You want to give them a bit of, like, everything you've done back then for me. Was for these reasons you see me playing in the Principality, hopefully against Scotland, fingers crossed.
100%.
Yeah, I think making those people proud are the main things, and just enjoying and having fun. Mm. Like, life is about having fun. I think
yeah.
If you're not going to enjoy the things you do, then you're wasting your time doing it. No.
Mm. 100%. One thing I like what you just said then, it really stuck with me, is really owning it, saying it. I think so many of us, I think in particular in Wales, we're very scared on actually saying what we feel, like as in promoting, I'm going to have that 12 jersey, I'm going to have that 13 jersey, or and because we fear of being judged, say it.
Yeah,
100%. And you'll earn more respect because when you do it, we're all with you. And if you don't do it, you're like, well, you know what? He fucking ripped in.
Yeah.
And that's what you need.
Yeah, like you say, like all the centres in the squad now, we all want to start. Like, we're not stupid. We know only two of us can start and one potential on a bench. And like, yeah, I think you just got to think, yeah, I want that 12 jersey. Yeah. I know George wants that 13 jersey, but we're going to have a good scrap trying to get it, aren't we? Like, so, which is good. It's good for the team. It's good for the boys as well.
It's really good probably because it's such a young team now. It's raw. Everyone's fighting.
Yeah.
And there's places to be, you know, opportunities. So I'm really excited for these Six Nations. I think, well, we're at the off-grid right now. I had to give the guy a plug. He loves it.
Give him a shout out.
But off-grid are doing the whole Six Nations. They're doing, you know, events. You can do all your bookings. You can get some good food, good grub. You'll get annoying Rory Pittman here just lugging things around. But, mate, I'm very grateful for you being on. You know, being from the Bridgend area, I'll take out the Tondi out your email address.
What about the Bring Kerth in?
Bring Kerth in. Yeah, we'll question that one as well. But, mate, I am legit grateful for you being you. You've had a great career and you've got so much more to give. And I really think you're just scratching the surface on what you can achieve.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thank you for having me as well.
Appreciate no worries, brother. Thank you.
Stuff. Don't just talk it, walk it. Walk it zone. Don't just talk it, walk it. Don't just talk it, walk it. Walk it zone. Don't just talk it, walk it. Walk it zone.